As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
It's First Time Caller Day on Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
It is First Time Callers, so start lining up, folks. If you've never been on the show with us, today could be your day.
So First Time Callers only today. Now we're going to ask three questions each.
The quack of a duck does not produce an echo. Is that true or false?
That falls under the category of it's just wrong. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Today's Friday, May the 15th.
Halfway through May.
2026, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're halfway through May? All right. Yeah. First of all, I'm Tim Wildman, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim.
Ed's a calendar man.
Yes, obviously.
JJ Jasper, how you doing, brother JJ?
I'm glad to be here.
You got a joke about May.
Go ahead.
All right. My daughter's getting married tomorrow morning, Maddie. Please pray for her and Graham.
One of your daughters.
One of my daughters.
Yeah, several.
And so I'm going to try to tell this very, very quickly. The girl about to get married telling her dad, I'm just so nervous. I hope I don't just faint. It's so overwhelming. He said, just break it down into small pieces. Think about the aisle. You've walked down this aisle. This is our local church.
Yeah.
Concentrate on the aisle. Get down to the altar. That's where you received Christ. You've gone down there to pray. Just think about the aisle, then think about the altar, and then lastly, think about Him. You'll get through it. So, big day. She's walking down the aisle, and people could hear her muttering under her breath, aisle, altar, Him. I'll alter him.
I'll alter.
Some things are going to change around here.
All right, Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. We are going to ask trivia questions, and you're going to call in and answer and ask us a trivia question. That's how we do this here on American Family Radio. It's first-time callers only, so here's the phone number, 888-589-8840. So you're eligible to call and be on the air with us today if you've never been on before. So first time callers only today, 888-589-8840. And you have to be 11 years old to call in or older. And let's see, JJ, we got a question.
We do.
Mystery.
We have one of these original questions out of these original nine, three each. One is a mystery question. If you happen to land on it and answer it correctly, you're going to hear this sound. Ah, the beloved cowbell. That means that you are going to win yourself a brand new, newly designed Learning University t-shirt.
Brand new.
I love that new
brand
design.
Brand spanking new.
Hot off the presses.
It looks like a college t-shirt with a seal that you would
have.
Yeah,
I'm going to hold it up for those watching on Facebook, YouTube, and our own live streaming service. Yeah, I'm holding
nice
it up right
now. Nice t-shirt.
Yes, it is.
It's colorful.
Colorful.
And by the way, if you want to actually, take a longer look at this.
Take a longer look.
Or would like to purchase one, you can go to our resource center, resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. Not only is the t-shirt there, but all kinds of other resources for you, videos and books and whatnot. We have a lot of whatnot on there.
Whatnot?
Yeah. So to help you in your walk or to have a little fun.
Is there something we haven't done and we're missing here? Is this all we got?
Did you give out the phone number?
I did.
Oh, okay. It's 888-589-8840 if you weren't listening.
I gave that three times like a minute ago.
Did you?
Is this happening to us in our relationship where you just tune me out?
It's happening to me in all my relationships.
I've been told that before by other people. I just tune them out.
Well, I will say we do the introduction of this show so often. I was actually that was a moment for me just to get away by myself. You know, Cal gone, take me away.
Oh,
and
that's not very manly.
A bubble bath?
No.
You need a new analogy.
I'm glad you said that because I was thinking it.
You need a new analogy. You don't need to use that among men.
That has something to do with being a Navy SEAL or something.
Cal gone, take me away.
Bubble bath.
All right, so are we ready?
You don't really get bubble baths.
No,
right?
Okay. I don't take baths anyway.
Okay, well, bubble bath. I guess that's neutral. I don't know.
You know, baths, you soak in your own crud. I don't get it.
We didn't need that.
You know?
That imagery?
Yeah.
We could have done without that.
You wanted to see those bubbles now, aren't you?
That's why I shower. That's why I take a shower.
Y'all are both doing it.
All right, are we ready, to roll here?
We're ready.
Let's roll.
All right. Here are my three questions. During the Revolutionary War, George Washington led a nighttime river crossing during a winter storm to attack Hessian mercenaries garrisoned at what city? Where were the Hessian mercenaries garrisoned when George Washington led a raid across the river?
Give the question again with a little more detail.
You're going to tell me about one question. All right.
Actually, you said
the pot. Said the pot. Calling the
All right, and here's a multiple choice question.
Okay,
what is located under the White House? Here are your choices.
All right,
a bowling alley.
Yeah,
a florist.
Mm-hmm.
A dental office.
Yeah,
all of the above or none of the above.
Five choices.
Yep, five choices.
Wow,
that's it. Really, two.
That wasn't on my ACT. I only had four. I had a 25% chance of getting it.
What is located under the White House? Was it a bowling alley? A florist,
uh-huh.
A dental office, all of the above, or none of the above? All right, then finally a true-false question. In the early 1900s, people sometimes mailed children through the Postal Service. Is that true or false? In the early 1900s, it's a funny question, isn't it? In the early 1900s, people sometimes mailed children.
Did they mail them through Memphis?
They disappeared.
Because they're lost still today.
They disappeared.
They're on the side of a milk carton.
Through the Postal Service. Is that true or false? That's all I got.
In all seriousness, back in the day, not my day, but you could get a Sears Roebuck, you could order a house from the catalog, and they'd mail you all the lumber and all the staircase, windows, and you'd build a house. And they'd say, what kind of home is that? Oh, that's from Sears and Roebuck. Got that from Sears.
You should have saved that for a Trivia Friday.
Now, there's
question.
Houses that they'll say, like in these.
You serious, Clark?
Yeah, they said this is the National Registry. Well, you know, was this a Victorian? No, that was one of the Sears and Roebuck houses they got ordered from the catalog.
You look it up.
Here's what I've got. First question, sports question. What is Lambeau Field's nickname? Second question, Bible question. Here's the verse. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Who spoke those words, and who was he talking to? Who knows that you may have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Very famous verse in the Bible. Who spoke those words? Who was he talking to?
They also said, Luke, I'm your father. that same person.
It was a shorter verse.
Luke, I am your father.
So same person.
The third question, true or false, there are no snakes or squirrels in New Zealand. Is that true or false? There are no snakes or squirrels in New Zealand. True or false?
All right.
Well, there used to be snakes there, but the last snake choked on the last squirrel. That's how they both.
That's disgusting.
Wow.
I have no idea whether your question
is true. Well, if it's true, I want to know about that epic battle between the squirrels and the snakes. And they said, bring it. And they all came out on both sides. And it was such a fierce, epic battle. They wiped each other out.
I think the snakes win that one. I really do.
Oh, I was going to say. Huh? Yeah, well.
Even with no arms.
I don't know, man. Those squirrels can dance around.
Yeah, but they can't. Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll pick this up later. all right. So here are my questions. Like JJ, I have a Bible question. May I ask this a couple years ago? I don't remember. But it doesn't matter because our listeners don't remember either. So here's the question. After Jesus Christ, who are the two most mentioned names in the Bible? And if you can get that without looking it up, we'll send you an AFR Today Trivia Friday t-shirt. If you can get that without looking it up or asking somebody else.
That's a good challenge.
If you just know it, okay?
No lifeline, so, and you can't do any research.
Right. And if you lie about
it. You can. You can't answer it if you want to look it up. You just don't get a t-shirt.
That's right. Correct. All right. After Jesus Christ, who are the two most mentioned names in the Bible? Number two, surprised we've never had this one before. What is a group of baby chickens called? What is a group of baby chickens called? You go over to your window, look out in your backyard, you pull up your curtains or your blinds, whatever you got there.
Yeah.
And you look out in your backyard, you call your wife, honey, come over here and look out here. We have got a blank of chickens.
Not
baby
one,
chickens.
There's a group out there.
We got a blank of baby chickens out here roaming our backyard, and we need to do something about it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I know the answer to this.
Yeah. You don't call, at that point, you don't call the pest control people. You call Colonel Sanders. You'll know what to do.
We're talking about babies here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. Scratch that.
Baby chickens here. Well, they ain't grown up yet.
No, that's true. Okay.
Well, that's, you just get
you grown up, you can talk rotisserie.
Small.
But right now, you,
small
you know
buns.
What I'm saying? Huh? Look
just
it up.
Small buns. And then,
small buns?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're headed chickens. In the wrong direction.
Yes, we are.
What is a group of baby chickens called? And finally, this is the two-part question. I'm going to do this because it's a difficult question. They'll get an AFR t-shirt if you can answer this question on your own without looking it up or asking somebody.
Okay.
Two-part question. Where does the famed Route 66 begin and end?
Oh, good.
That's the first part. The second part is name the states that it runs through.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So if you know that.
That's all they get is a t-shirt?
I'll tell you what, we'll send them some baby chickens. How about that? Huh? Some baby chickens.
Yeah.
All right, let's go, Ed.
All right. Let's go to North Carolina first. And Michael is on the line. Michael, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hey, Michael. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
Good, good.
Good. It's Friday.
Friday, yeah. Amen. It's hard to have a bad Friday. Where are you calling from in North Carolina?
I'm in a little town called Sawmills, which I'm about an hour north of Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
And foothills.
I got you. You're not too far from Alex McFarland. He lives around there somewhere.
Yeah.
In what's that called? Pleasant something?
It's like Pleasant Valley or something.
Pleasant Valley.
It's something that just sounds like it's in a Hallmark
movie.
It's
all nice people live there.
I hear a place called Sawmill, North Carolina. And for the life of me, I can't imagine what caused them to name it, you know.
It's a mystery.
Come up with the name. Yeah, just an absolute mystery.
Yeah. All right, Michael, ask, answer, or both?
I'll do both.
Which one do you want to answer?
I'll try the true or false question on the snakes.
Come on, man.
Oh, here we go.
You're going to go true, false right off the bat here? That's giving up too easy.
That's a coin toss right there.
Go ahead, JJ.
All right, Michael, here's what we got, true or false. There are no snakes or squirrels in New Zealand. Is that true or false, Michael?
I would say it's false.
It is 100% true. We've had a guest at our home and in our town for the last couple of days. He's from New Zealand. He taught in Africa with my daughter, Maddie, and I was asking different things about New Zealand. And he said earlier there were no snakes. Then they were bike riding, and he said, are any squirrels in Mississippi? She said, we've just seen three while we were riding a bike. He said, what? I've never seen a squirrel. I would like to point one out, a wee little squirrel. And he said there's no squirrels in New Zealand. And I never did ask the backstory, but he said there's no lions, no tigers. He's telling the difference.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no squirrels, no snakes.
Well, how does the food chain work over there?
Great whites. So a lot of things don't make it quite to the shore because there's a lot of great white sharks. You know what he did say? I said, now, who's your neighbor? I know Australia's on one side. Who's your neighbor on the other side? He said, no one. And I said, I mean, Fiji Islands or somebody out there. He said, nobody. He said, we have no neighbor. You have to go all the way around the world to hit South America. They are out in the ocean.
Just wow.
Two islands, north and south. But, yeah, go figure. No snakes, no squirrels. I just learned that this week.
Wow. Interesting. All right, what's your question for us?
Okay, it's an Andy Griffin question. Ernest T. Bass, when he went to school, thing Miss Crump, he wanted to tell her, how do you get a possum out from under a rock? He gave her the answer.
How do you get a
Ed's
possum?
I don't
remember. I remember the episode. I remember him sitting in that classroom. I remember him how he was kind of able to pass. They asked very basic questions. I don't remember the answer to this.
What's the question again?
How do you get a possum out from under a rock?
Curriculum has changed a lot over the years.
Maybe with a sharp stick, and you poke them or something.
I'm going to say you smoke it out.
How do you get a possum out from under?
A rock. You're not going to reach under there because they'll tear you up.
A possum under a rock? Wouldn't that hurt? Wouldn't that flatten him?
Well, I'm sure it's like a hole that he's dug.
Yeah,
under
let's
the
don't
rock.
Overthink it.
Okay. You're right, JJ. You get to these animal questions. I've been warned about that before by others.
You got to dig deep. You dig deep.
Well, I overthink it.
Yeah. So let's start right here. If you're in New Zealand, there's a rock. Right. There's not going to be a snake. There's not going to be a squirrel. Right. So that sort of getting you going in the right direction. There may be a possum.
So
I'm going to say well, he's got smoke it out. I'm going to say a sharp stick.
I'm going to say smoke on the water.
Michael, what's the answer?
He got it right. You take a stick and poke him.
Take a sharp stick and
that's
poke
good.
Him. Well,
good.
Really, I couldn't quite remember, but I'm just going by all my experience.
Your instinct.
My instinct as a woodsman.
Most situations, most scary situations.
When I go out in the woods, do some hunting
right
and
there, and you
well,
find
that
you
episode
a
that
group
you
of baby chickens roaming out there.
That episode that you were on Survivor, you did really well making that's, all this things.
That's
that,
right. Yeah. Listen, guys, if all three of us were stranded somewhere, I would just start the conversation by saying, I'm going to be the first one to die. You guys decide what to do with me, however you want.
All right.
Hey, Michael, great. That's a great question. And shame on me for not knowing the answer right off the bat and having to guess.
Have a great North Carolina weekend. Yeah. Thanks for listening to AFR.
All right, let's go to Kentucky. And Abigail is on the line. Abigail, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you. I had a 105.7 on trusty radio station. It's a good one in Kentucky, I think.
Wonderful.
All right.
Abigail, what part of Kentucky?
Campbellsville. It's Taylor County, and right next to us there's Greensburg and Greene County. I said Campbellsville doesn't make any sense. It doesn't sound anything like Taylor.
Yeah. JJ, how far is that from your hometown?
Not really far. I'm from Owensboro. You ever get up that way, Abigail?
Actually, there's a church called Buck Creek Baptist I visited a few months ago. We have friends at Buck Creek. Now, it's not in Owensboro, but it's out there somewhere.
Right.
So, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that's a good area. So, well, listen, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Both, please. Thank you.
Which one you want to answer?
The one about the Bible quote.
The Bible quote.
The Bible quote. Here you go. Here's this verse in the Bible. It's the second half of a verse. And who knows that you may have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Abigail, who spoke those words, and who was he talking to?
Mordecai Esther.
Yes.
Oh,
nicely
right.
done.
Right.
You know, such a famous verse there where wicked Haman trying to kill all the Jews. He said, you might think you're safe. God can bring deliverance from another way, but who knows that maybe the Lord has put you in this position for such a time as this.
Amen.
That's something we can all look at. You're
Amen.
Strategically placed at the factory, on the campus, on the construction what? Site. That's Esther 4:14. Hey, Abigail, thank you for yes. knowing the Word and reading your Bible. What's your question for us?
It's just, I like movie quotes. And speaking of quotes, and so I'm going to say something from a movie, and there are lots of different ways I could pose this question, but I'm going to see, I guess I'll pose it like I'll say it and then see if you can guess what movie it was from.
Tim's going to get it. He's not going to have
too.
Any trouble.
He's pretty good at this, too.
Here's the movie. Can I tell you, can I make a little introduction first before I do that?
Sure.
Okay, so I happen to, incidentally, not so coincidentally, have some tattoos. I'm doing tattoo removal just because I just changed my mind, but, so I'm already removing them. But, both of these questions, I also have an Esther Bible verse. On my hand, it's Esther 8:9. I love that Bible verse because it's kind of a victory. It's kind of the victory side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of special. So I have Esther 8:9. So I like Esther 8:9. So that's pretty special. And then, I also like the Scarlet. Oh, sorry. I had almost ruined it. Okay. The quote, I'm going to go ahead to my quote before I ruin anything.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah,
we're ready.
We're ready. Bring it.
Okay. So,
mm-hmm.
So the quote I like is, it goes something like, come, now, people don't really hide in clocks.
People
you know
don't,
movie that's from?
That's from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Right there. That's like the 30 minutes in.
People don't really.
I'm going to say Beauty and the Beast.
People don't really.
Hide in clocks. Yeah.
Well, there was a kind of a family movie about a boy who actually did hide in a clock, like in like old kind of fashioned England or something. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like at a mall, maybe a train station or something. I can't remember.
Hide in a clock.
Yeah.
It was a big
clock.
Big Ben.
No, it was big. It seemed like it was at a train station or something. I can't remember the name of it.
Are we getting warm, Abigail?
That's a good movie, but that's not it. The quote that it's in a conversation in a movie that is, he says to his enemy, he says, somebody could be hiding from behind that clock. And then he laughs and he says, so come now, people don't really hide in clocks. Do you want me to tell you the answer?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
We've got to go. There's the music.
Okay. All right. It's the movie called The Scarlet Pimpernel, which is a type of flower. And it's the movie called The Scarlet Pimpernel. It's the end when he's talking to Chauvelin, the bad guy, and he's telling him that he might have his, he's talking to his enemy. So there you go.
Hey,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abigail.
God bless you. Have a great weekend.
I got a quote for your movie.
Yeah.
We can take a break with. We'll be back.
Oh, I like that.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
It was all caused by a common house cat, investigators said. It's kind of hard to believe, but they've pieced together the events, and this evidently is what's happened. Now listen to this. The house cat knocked a vase off of a shelf in the utility room. The vase fell onto a valve on a gas line. The impact opened the gas valve, letting the room fill with gas. Gas from the leak soon reached the water heater pilot light and ignited. The result? An explosion which moved two walls in a house, broke windows, and started a small fire. The damage will come to about $3,000, said the news account. But luckily for Air Force Major James Miller and his family at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, no one was hurt. One never knows how far one little deed will affect his life. Things which we count so small, so insignificant, so petty, end up dominating us. They all begin innocently enough. They're such little deeds that we hardly take them seriously. After all, what harm can such little deeds do? Most of our major accomplishments in life start off as little things. Then they begin to grow, take on size and importance. A person on the moon didn't start out as a big project. It started out as a little thought in the minds of people. And if you had spoken of it seriously, you most certainly would have been the talk of the town, and they would have been laughing at you. The airline industry, for instance, didn't start out the monstrosity that it is now. It started out as a thought in the minds of a few people centuries ago. And others considered those who had such thoughts a little touched in the head. On the other hand, most of our catastrophes didn't begin as such either. Hitler had no dreams of murdering 6 million Jews as an 11-year-old. The idea started slowly, but it grew too fast. Nero didn't set out to be a ruler mad with insanity and jealousy, but that's the way he ended up, fiddling as Rome burned. We don't take the little petty things too seriously. After all, they are so small. What can they hurt? Who'll miss the quarter from the cash register? Surely not the company, as large as it is. And soon it's a dollar the company won't miss. And soon it's a five, which the company owes me. And it ends up in what the law calls embezzlement. We fully intended to pay it back. One social drink doesn't do any harm. It only loosens us up so we can enjoy the party. And the second helps a little more. And then another. And before long, all we want to do is to be the life of the party, even when there isn't a party. No person anywhere leaves that which he knows is the highest and best with one great leaping jump. Every person who betrays his creator and himself and others does so with little things, slowly, little by little. Our lives are shaped basically by the sum total of the little things. While it may be the big things which impress us, it is the little things which influence us.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15.
American Family Radio.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
With a popular show in the 70s about the 50s.
Hey. Yeah. It's the old man version.
Yeah.
Hey, you kids, get up, Mike.
No, no, I'm thinking of Fonz. Yeah, Fonz. But, or maybe he said it in a little higher pitched voice.
We all had higher pitched voices back then, didn't we?
Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. We also call this
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. We're going to repeat our questions and then go back to the phones. It's first-time callers only, and if you want to get on the air with us and ask and answer a trivia question, the phone number is 888-589-8840. Again, 888-589-8840. If you want to watch on the internet, we're live video streaming at Facebook, YouTube, and streaming.afa.net. Stream.afa.net, which is our own video service, stream.afa.net. But today's issues are Trivia Friday. You can watch it there. Go ahead, Ed.
All right. Here are my three questions that have heretofore gone unanswered. During the Revolutionary War, George Washington led a nighttime river crossing during a winter storm to attack Hessian mercenaries garrisoned at what city?
I think that tops Chuck Norris right there.
Yes, it did.
That's manly stuff.
All right, second question, a multiple choice. What is located under the White House? Is it a bowling alley, a florist, a dental office, all of the above, or none of the above? And then third question, in the early 1900s, people sometimes mailed children through the Postal Service. Is that true or false?
Here's what I've got, and I'm going to have to add a few.
Yeah.
First question, what is Lambeau Field's nickname? A little football trivia there. What is Lambeau Field's nickname? Second question, which character on SpongeBob SquarePants is always trying to steal the secret Krusty Krab recipe? You never thought you were going to hear anything about SpongeBob on American Family Radio. Which character on SpongeBob is always trying to steal the secret
By the way,
Krusty Krab recipe?
Do not tell me what happens at the end of that. Okay, I've got it taped.
Right. all of them? You don't want a spoiler alert.
I don't want a spoiler alert. I'm going to stick my fingers in my ears if you start telling me.
No, I won't tell. Yeah. So, third question, which blood type is a universal donor? Which blood type?
We've had that seven times.
Is it?
Right?
Yeah,
really?
But I don't remember the answer.
See, that's good, JJ. I only remember we've had it. I don't remember what it is.
Well, let me tell you something I learned just recently, and this is going to be a blessing. I'm going to give you a 30-second devotion. There are eight blood types, and there were eight people on the ark. You don't have to be Ken Ham to connect those dots. Eight people on the ark, Noah, his wife, three sons, and their three wives. Eight people on the ark, and there are only eight blood types.
That's
in the world. Interesting.
Is that it?
That's it.
Right.
What's the universal donor?
Universal donor. All right, here's what I have. What is a group of baby chickens called?
Dinner.
Number two.
Under most circumstances.
Shouldn't have said that.
Number two. What is the famed Route 6? Two-part question. The famed Route 66, where does it begin and end? The most famous highway in America. Where does it begin and end? And then if you can answer this without looking it up or asking somebody, we're going to send you an AFR T-shirt, a Trivia Friday Learning University brand new T-shirt, hot off the press. The part of that question is, name the states that it runs through. Name the states that Route 66 runs through. And my last question is this. After Jesus Christ, who are the two most mentioned names in the Bible? After Jesus Christ, clearly the most mentioned name in the Bible. Who are the two most mentioned names in the Bible? Who's up next, Ed?
All right, we're going to Indiana. Stan the Man is on the line. Stan, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hello.
Hey, Stan.
Stan, where do you live in Indiana, brother?
I'm like in West Lafayette.
Good, Lafayette. All right.
West Lafayette or Lafayette?
Oh, no, West Lafayette.
Yes, sir.
What?
You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I want to answer the George Washington question.
All right, here's the question, Stan. During the Revolutionary War, George Washington led a nighttime river crossing during a winter storm to attack Hessian mercenaries who were garrisoned at what city? What do you say, Stan?
I'd say Trenton, New Jersey.
Trenton, New Jersey is correct.
You could probably visit that spot today. I don't know.
I would guess.
Yeah. Trenton, New Jersey. So how did you know that, Stan?
Well, I learned that a long time ago. You see.
American history class?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Well, every American should be taught about this,
right?
Our history like that, because what our forefathers went through with the Revolutionary War, the War for Independence, was a miracle. A miracle that they defeated the British forces, and we had our independence, it was clear to me that God wanted America to exist.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think for the primary purpose of being the country on the world stage that spread the gospel of Christ, both domestically and around the world, more than any other country in history.
Amen.
That's good.
And so there's more to that, but anyway.
Hey, good. Amen to what you just said, and great question, Ed, coming up on our 250th
amen.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Stan, go ahead. Fire away. What do you got?
Okay, on True Grit, what is Kim Darby's host's name? Host's name.
Wait, repeat that again. What now?
Okay, on True Grit, John Lane and Ken Darby. Like, what is Kim Darby's host's name?
Kim Darby, she was the actress that played the girl who asked...
Hired him.
Yeah, John Wayne's character, Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah.
To go after those, I think, the guys who killed her father.
Was that the movie with Glenn Campbell?
Yes.
Okay.
Didn't John Wayne, didn't he show up with a sword, said, "You killed my father"? And wasn't that where that line there? My name is No.
You. No, I think you're talking.
You killed my father.
Princess and the Bride.
Oh, that was Princess and the Bride.
Yeah, my name is some kind of French
Spanish
name.
Yeah,
Spanish
yeah.
name.
Thought that was from the French Connection, something like that, or one of
close.
Those old movies. From
that's
the 70s.
Yeah, that's close. Stan, it was probably something religious because she was
a Christian
young lady and wanted, Rooster Cogburn, to kind of go to church and get right with God, stop cussing.
Did he do that?
No, he did not.
What's the answer? We don't
know.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer, Stan. What is it?
When it was Blackie.
It was what?
Blackie, because your horse was black. And
Blackie. Because she's on a black horse.
Okay,
great.
All right.
Hey, listen, thank you for listening to AFR. Have a great weekend.
The sequel to that was Black Beauty.
Black Beauty?
Yeah, the movie about the black horse. That's where that name comes from.
Rode across the desert on a black horse with no name. There's a lot of connections there. Kevin Bacon was on one of those.
Is that right?
Yes.
Kevin Bacon. It always comes back to Kevin
Bacon.
Yeah,
at some point.
And that was... Glenn Campbell, one of his big hits was black horse with no name.
I think you're getting your artist confused there. But
I think we're confused about a lot of things.
I think we are.
And then, Glenn Campbell's cousin, Earl Campbell, played professional football.
Yeah, I've seen them both. I don't think they're cousins.
Here's the deal. Their second cousin twice removed just started making that soup in a vat. And it took off and went viral, and everybody has enjoyed that soup for many, many years. So I give him props for that.
It was good.
It was good.
All right.
I'm going to interrupt here to say we need to move on.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the instigator. The instigator wants us to move on. All right. Let's go to South Carolina, and Nancy is on the line.
I tell you, that was hurtful.
Nancy, welcome.
I can't believe I got on here. I'm so excited.
You can't believe it. You just got to have faith.
Can't believe it's not butter? You can't believe you were able to get through. Hey, thank you for your enthusiasm.
Yeah, you are enthusiastic. So, we like this. So,
where are you calling from?
Well, we're in South Carolina, but we actually live in Salter Path, North Carolina at the beach. And we're traveling across country, so we're just sitting here waiting to hear y'all on the radio. And I decided to call for the first time ever.
Nancy, I want to know, thank you for that, and for you to be stopping to make sure you still have a signal. But where are you guys headed? I'm going to be nosy here.
So we have a place in Colorado, and we spend half the year in the wilderness in Colorado and half the year at the beach in North Carolina.
There's
the first sentence of your book. Just right. Let that be the first sentence, and it doesn't really matter what the rest of the book's going to be about.
So you drive cross country?
Yeah, we got a golden retriever. We don't have any choice. We got to drive.
Well, which route do you, not go into too much detail, which interstate do you take mostly?
Well, so we're right now going on 20 because we've got grandchildren all over the country we got to spend a little time with. So,
oh, okay.
We're, Yeah, we're headed down to New Braunfels, Texas, and Oklahoma City, and
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Right? Just seeing America. That's
hey,
great.
Hey, and look, I'm going to throw something out to our listeners. Pray for Nancy for safe travels and all those on the road. You know, we've got recent graduations and things. Everybody's hitting the road, so Memorial Day upcoming. Pray for safety as she travels.
Okay. Excellent.
Thank you. You can join our prayer warriors. We got lots of them.
Amen. Nancy, ask, answer, or do both?
I want to do both.
Which question?
And I want to answer the true or false about mailing the children.
All right, here's the question, Nancy. In the early 1900s, people sometimes mailed children through the postal service. Is that true or false?
That's absolutely true.
It is absolutely true. The first recorded baby delivered via parcel post was James Beagle, unfortunate name, an eight-month-old resident of Glen Estee, Ohio. His journey wasn't long. A carrier picked up the well-wrapped infant from his parents and, per the address, on an attached card, delivered him to his grandmother just a few miles away. The postage cost 15 cents. And his parents insured him for $50.
Postage?
Huh?
Yes. Wait, his parents insured him for how much?
$50.
How did you know this, Nancy?
Well, I've seen pictures of that before, of the kids, and they rode in the mail cart.
Yep.
They didn't get up there in the passenger cars.
Yeah, just to clarify here, they weren't sent to a postal post office
center
and processed.
They didn't have a stamp on their forehead. Is that what you're saying?
Did not have a stamp on their forehead or on their right hand. And they just wanted, they didn't have a vehicle. They wanted to get the child down, you know, a few miles down the road. And so the postman took the child.
What if your parents did that to you? What would you?
First thing they'd contact,
I'd be very disappointed.
How would you feel
about
that?
Child service people.
You know, let me tell you something. You keep acting up like that, we'll ship you off. And I mean literally.
And here comes the postman.
Yeah,
we don't think we won't
put you in the mail.
Well, you know, it is. Life has changed dramatically in over 100 years. We all have, for the most part, have vehicles, more than one vehicle. We want to go down to the local Dollar General. We hop in the car. But back then, you know, you didn't have a horse and buggy. How would you get your kid, you know, safely to the grandparents? I'm not going to say those are the good old days, but they were the old days.
All right, Nancy, way to go. What's your question for us?
Okay, so we have a fort on our island, and it was built directly in response to the War of 1812, and can you name it?
Off the island there in South Carolina, guys. You're our history buff.
Our island's in North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina.
Fort in North Carolina built in response to the War of 1812.
Tim and Ed have our best chance.
I'm going to guess at something.
Okay, go
ahead. Was this at the site of a Civil War battle as well?
Well, yes.
I'm going to guess.
It wasn't much of a battle, but there was.
I'm going to guess St. James Island.
Tim?
No.
What happened?
Did we lose her?
Nancy, you there?
I'm here. It's kind of an obscure question. It's Fort Macon.
Fort Macon.
Okay. Which is, if I'm looking, is that the Outer Banks?
Well, it's the Outer Banks, but we're on kind of the southern tail end of the Outer Banks.
Like Cape Hatteras area?
Yeah,
you're not too far from there. Okay, good. Wow, I never knew that. I never heard of Fort Macon. Can you visit it?
Yeah. Pardon me?
Can you visit, like, the ruins or the left?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a wonderful state park. It's all renovated. They fire off the cannons on New Year's Eve, and we always go out there for that. They've got, like, about nine of them now.
Wow.
They'll shake you right down to your innards.
Down to your innards.
They do that in my neighborhood, and there's not even a fort there.
Thank you, Nancy. God bless you, and
all right.
Thank you for listening. We haven't had the word innards used here in a long time.
Shaking down to your innards. I ate a hot bowl of chili once and did the same thing.
Did it? Really?
Yeah.
That's all we need to know.
Right down to my innards.
Yeah. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and JJ. Who's up next, Ed?
Let's go to Texas.
All right.
And John is on the line. John, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Dude, what's up, guys?
Hey,
y'all,
John.
Awesome.
Hey, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, dude. Man. We love that.
I listen to y'all in the mornings, and like y'all are like super hilarious and informative. It's great.
Hey, John, you remind me of the fella who made a mistake, and he accidentally was making coffee, and he actually used Red Bull instead of water. He said he was halfway to work before he realized he had left his truck in the driveway. Like the energy, John.
Yeah, where do you live in Texas, John?
I live in Princeton, so I'm in the McKinney area, just north of Dallas.
Plano, McKinney, and up in that area. Yeah. I always joke and go with people every time I go to Dallas, which is about once a year, then I learn that Dallas is about to go into Oklahoma because they keep
growing. You're not wrong.
Yeah, they keep growing north. Yeah. And McKinney used to be a little farm town. Way out in the country.
My sister lives in Frisco. It's the same thing. It used to be next to nothing there.
Yeah. All right, John. Ask, answer, or both?
I want to do both.
Which one do you want to answer?
I want to do the Route 66 one.
All right. So
here we go.
All right. So, John, just before you answer this, and it's okay if you looked it up, but I need to know, did you look it up?
I did not look it up because I've been driving to work this whole time.
Okay, so here's the situation, folks. If John gets the answer, the two-part question.
Here we go.
Answer correctly. We're going to send him one of our brand-new Learning University T-shirts.
You don't mean it.
We are.
And some baby chickens.
You watch. It's a baby. JJ's going to kick in some baby chickens.
Not JJ. That was your
We're going to send
deal.
Them in the. All right, we're going to send them in the mail, right?
Yes.
Am I right?
15 cents.
Okay, here we go. All right, here's the first part of the question, John. Where does the famed Route 66 begin and end?
So I'm going to do it backwards. It starts in Los Angeles, and it ends in either St. Louis or Chicago, but I can't remember if it was one of those two.
It's Chicago. So I'm going to give you that part of it, but the next part of it...
That's Chicago to Los Angeles?
Yeah, and actually...
For some reason, I thought it went coast to coast.
No.
Oh,
It goes Chicago. It actually starts. He did go backwards. He admitted to that. I don't know why he did that. why wouldn't you just?
He might be MC.
Why would you say I'm going to go backwards when you can clearly go forward? But that's a question for another day.
Well, no, that's choice. John and his therapist need to work that out. We're not licensed professionals.
Yeah. So it goes from Chicago to Los Angeles. It goes through St. Louis. That is correct. But it goes from Chicago to Los Angeles. Now, I'm only going to say yes if you get it right. I'm not going to say you got 3 out of 4 or something, or 4 out of 7 or whatever like that. So on the states, I'm just going to let you reel them off, and I'll say yes or no whether you get it right or not. You got that?
Okay. I'm also going to go backwards. I'm starting in Los Angeles. So California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana.
Wow. Man, you did so good.
How close did he get?
I said I wasn't going to say that, but he missed it by one. Sorry.
No!
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to cut the sleeves off the T-shirt.
And that'll be our what's
in your wife beater T-shirt? Okay?
Yeah. He wears it to the gym. Nobody would think anything about it.
No, he missed it by one. I was pulling for you, Brother John, and you almost got it, but you did. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You got 7 of 8, but you flipped. There's one state you mentioned that's not on there. And I don't know, since you, if you'd have thought about it, coming backwards to forward, since you like doing that, you'd have got it right. But I think you're being punished for the way you did it there. By a little Route 66 karma coming at you right there, okay?
Wait, so he added one.
He added one. He didn't need to. He went way out of the way. But anyway, I'm not judging him as a person.
So technically,
he got them all.
He got them all.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
He got them all. He just added an extra one.
No, I'm sorry. I misspoke. He failed to mention one.
Oh, he failed to mention one.
All right.
Okay.
He failed to mention one,
and he added one
that has no business in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like...
But otherwise, he's on the right track.
Sounds like a moral failure.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Wait a minute. He added one that he didn't get, and then
I'm gonna draw you a picture.
No, I'm gonna say that it sounds just like the Democrat Party.
Oh, okay.
Hearing that
duly noted.
That definition.
All right, what's your question for us, John?
Okay, so these are two military aircraft. They are both been in service for 70 years. Both of them have bands named after them, and they're 70 years old and they're still in service, and both of them have bands named after them.
All right. You say 70 years?
70.
All right. Yes.
They've been in service 70 years.
B-52.
The B-52s would be one of them.
Is that the Love Shack people?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's a Love Shack.
I don't know any of their music, but I just thinking, and you said they're two military planes. But you didn't mention what kind, like if they're bombers or anything. Is there a group called Mustangs? I'm just trying to think of some.
The Mustang. I thought that was a car.
Prominent. Mustang
B-51. They're no longer. You said they are still in service. Is that what?
Yes, they're still in service.
Oh, still in service.
B-52s.
Still in.
And then so something 70 years old.
Well, 70 years is not old for an airplane.
Well, are we talking bluegrass music here?
I guess it could be anything.
Okay, because there was a bluegrass group called the F-16s. they had a couple hits,
right?
But they didn't really.
Yeah, F-16s haven't been in.
Hey, we've only got one, John.
If you watch Behind the Music, that's a pretty interesting story on on the F-16s.
What's the answer?
It's U2.
U2, the band U2. That's a U2 is a plane?
You mean it's like the spy plane?
The one that goes up really high and gives intel to the other.
They still use the U2?
Yes.
Okay.
Is the band named after the plane?
Yes.
Really? I didn't know that.
I will say this little backstory, John and the professors. The U2, because it's been around for 70 years and it offers that intel, some of the technology is a little outdated. It actually has rabbit ears on it. A lot of people don't know
rabbit
that.
Ears.
It has rabbit ears because of being 70 years old, it doesn't have all the AI.
But you
and
can
everything.
Adjust it mid-flight.
if you need to. Downside,
or put a little bit of
aluminum
foil.
One of the pilots has to go outside the plane.
Put some aluminum foil on one of the little ears there.
I mean, don't do that. But all right, thank you, James. John. And Matthew and Luke and whoever else called in.
It was a great question.
Yeah, it was. Thank you, John. So let's repeat our questions now, real quick, and then when we come back from the news, we won't have to do that.
All right, good. I have one of my original ones remaining. It's a multiple choice. What is located under the White House? Bowling alley, florist, dental office, all of the above, or none of the above?
And a Dollar General.
And a Dollar General. And I will add one. What cartoon character was the first to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Here's what I've got. Sports question. What is Lambeau Field's nickname? Second question. What SpongeBob character is always trying to steal the Krusty Krab recipe? And then, which blood type? There are 8 blood types. Which blood type is a universal donor?
My question is, what is a group of baby chickens called? Where does the famed Route 66 begin? And Ian, that's already been answered. The question is, what states does Route 66 go through? And finally, after Jesus Christ, who are the most two mentioned names in the Bible? Want to know the answer to that question? We'll be back momentarily with more. I said more.
More.
More of Trivia Friday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.